We know and realize that Jesus died. We know that happened on the cross. But Luke, when he wrote in Acts 1:1-3, he says, "O Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven, before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit." So it's talking about when he was taken up, but before he was taken up, he was working in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. So he's telling them what to do. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, spreading and speaking to them about God's kingdom. One of the things that cross and one of the things that happened on that cross was Jesus' death. But when we stop and think about it, there's so much more that really did happen. Last week, I mentioned that we look at the cross and we see love. We look at the cross and that's what we see. God looked at the cross and God saw sin. The sin of the world taken upon one man, his son, Jesus Christ. But now we look at the cross and we see pain. But Jesus looks at the cross and Jesus sees love and passion. So the roles have kind of been reversed when we stop and think about it. And I've often wondered, in a cold and loveless world that we live in, and we see a lot of it going on. We see a lot of things going on around us that make me wonder how God can love a bunch of people that are so indifferent, a bunch of people that are so difficult to deal with. A world that's full of sin, a world that's full of destruction, a world that's full of hatred. And I look at that and I think about what he went through. He went through the agony of the cross. He went through the torture that led up to the cross. He went through the beatings that he had to take. And then hanging on an old, wooden, rugged cross for Linda, for Ida Mae, for Larry, for all of us. And it even becomes so much more amazing. A lot of movies have been done about Jesus' death, but I think probably the passion of Christ may have been the one that may have said it so well, and maybe said it so best. And I was reading this week, and one author said, he said, "I just wanted to get up and help Jesus off the cross. But then he said, I realized he had to do it for me." And I'm sure that that may have been the reaction of many of us. But Luke said, after his suffering, he showed them he was alive with many convincing proofs and many things that he was about to do. And we look at that four-letter word, love, and it really says everything about what happened on that cross. Love hurts. No one can tell anyone in here that love doesn't hurt. Zig Ziglar said that the cost of grief is the cost of loving someone. We've all had that probably first love, and hopefully for many of it, it's the only love. But we've all experienced love, and in some ways we all experienced rejection. It hurts to love because it costs. We pay a price to love. We don't always get our way. Hopefully we get to the place that we don't always want our way. hurts to invest in people. To invest your time and your love, and then they turn around and kick you. Turn around and let you down, and you think, man, all that time, it's an investment of my life, and it's gone. It hurts to be open. Sometimes it just hurts because it's hard to tell people what's on your heart. And it's especially tough for me because I'm not supposed to be vulnerable. I'm not supposed to have those things. I'm supposed to be the guy that puts the weight of this congregation on his shoulders. And I do that, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. But it's sometimes hard to be open. It hurts to be that giving, considering the fact that Jesus gave his life. And that had to hurt. But if we look at it this way, love is sacrificial. It is giving. It's not self-serving. We don't do it to get something in return. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for someone else. Paul said it's not puffed up. It doesn't boast about itself. It just happens. That's why we get thank you cards from the Salvation Army and thank you cards. And I love the one in Spanish because I just appreciate the heart of someone that probably sat there and said, I bet Larry Gallagher can't read Spanish. But thankfully, God provided Donna that could tell us what it said. I could understand a couple words. I understood gracias. Is that the way you pronounce it? Gracious? I understood that. Love doesn't behave itself unseemingly. In other words, it's done out of respect and it's done out of care. It's not out to benefit itself. It doesn't seek its own way. It doesn't seek something in return. Jesus knew hanging on the cross that there were going to be people that would accept him and there were people that were going to reject him. But he hung on the cross for people on both sides of the street. That's just what he does. Love makes us give someone our coat and we walk home in the cold. That's what love is. Somebody said love goes too far. It's overboard. It's across the line. But that's love. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length and height and depth together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. That's what love is really all about. What he says is he prays that we know and we will understand and we will grasp love beyond any comprehension of anything that we could ever have. Wouldn't hurt so bad if we could choose the people we love, the people we want to love. Wouldn't it be nice to do some background checks? Look at people and look at their background and say, you know, do they have the ability to love? That might work. Might be a thought, might be a way to do it. Or give them a whole bunch of tests, a battery of tests. Say, do you love me? I mentioned last week I had to meet with the district committee on licensing. And, you know, one of the questions, they want you to go through and look at the book of discipline and pick a question to answer and give your philosophy on it. And I did that. But one of the things that, you know, that I thought about talking about was Christian love. But I chose, why is there evil in the world? Because that was last Sunday's message. And I was prepared for it. But love, when we get that inside all of us. As I mentioned Thursday night, messages a lot of time and worship service a lot of time is for praise, thanking God, It's sometimes for education, sometimes for edification, depends what we need, but a lot of times I think God shows us things that we can share with other people that really help them as we see that need. If we did background checks and battery of questions and things, we might put some psychiatrists and psychologists out of business because a person could understand and really grasp what it is. Or maybe you could watch people for several weeks, see what they're really like. Somebody said, you really don't know who you're married to until you're married to them. I think there's a lot of truth to that because we see people differently. Someone had shared with me that their son had been married, and after a divorce, the comment made was that I was just putting on. So love has to hurt on part of that relationship. There are two places in Scripture where it looks like God sits down, and I can imagine God sitting down on a big stone talking to Abraham. And he's saying, Abraham, I want you to take your wife, take all your possessions. I want you to get up, and I want you to go somewhere, and I want you to do this. And you can read the story in Genesis 22 about that whole thing. But he said to him, along with that, is take Isaac to Mount Moriah. Now, he didn't tell him what he was taking him there for. Could have been a field trip, for all we know. But he took him up there, tied his hands, led him on an altar, and was about to take his life when God intervened. And so for Abraham, was a totally different situation than it was about Hosea, who Debbie read about today. Hosea was a nice, neat little guy, little Jewish prophet who had saved himself for this marriage relationship, kept himself untainted from the world, and kept himself clean and pure for his wedding day. And we know that the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Hosea, which means that Hosea was waiting to hear from God and what God's got for him next. And so God tells Hosea, he says, go out and marry this woman by the name of Gomer. Gomer didn't have the greatest of reputations. In fact, she, on the scale of 1 to 10, she was a minus 10. As far as what her occupation was. But God said, I want you to go and I want you to take her for your wife. And he does, and they marry. They have three children. As soon as they do, she hits the streets again. And I can see the thoughts running through Hosea's mind. He said to himself, he said, I tried it. It didn't work. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to give up. I'm going to write this off and I'm going to move on. It's not, you know, I know I have three children to care for and somebody's got to care for them. So I'll take care of them, but let's just get the divorce papers and get on with it. And I'm sure that's how he felt. Because God was saying to Hosea, what's happened with your wife is the same thing that Israel has done to me. They have rejected me. They have turned away. They have, you know, shut their eyes to me. And so Hosea goes out after God talked to him and stands on the corner and waits to see her. And when he sees her, there is a new level of love that had never been experienced in Hosea's life before. And he didn't realize how hard love really is. There are things that go on in our spouses' lives that we may not like. They may say things or do things that we may not like. Fortunately, as years go on and time goes on, those become less and less. But a relationship of love is something difficult to experience. And so what Hosea had was a love that didn't reciprocate. Gomer didn't give back to Hosea the way that Hosea gave to her. Israel didn't give back to God the way that God gave to Israel. And so when love doesn't reciprocate, then you certainly do have an issue. And what it left Hosea with was a lifestyle that he really didn't like. But what God was saying to Hosea through Gomer was that this relationship is not something that you can give up on. Because he's saying, in essence, I'm not giving up on Israel. I'm not giving up on people. Because he ended up giving his whole life. So we see the cross as a cross of passion. We see the cross as a cross of pain. Because Jesus chose to come back to redeem us and to forgive us for what we had done. And as we look at those people out there today that will scoff at people as Gomer did, but Jesus is still on the cross for them. And Jesus is still there for them. What Jesus did is Jesus became the Gomer and hung on the cross. You think, wow. With what she did, and I would encourage you to read the book of Hosea. It's not a long book, but in your devotions this week, take a look at it. What the cross has done for us, it's restored us. It's given us life. It's given us an opportunity to be one again and to be whole again. It's also restored our dignity. Because there was no dignity on the cross. Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That cross opened many doors for us. Jesus loves every obstacle that goes in our way, that crosses our path, every problem that we have, every mistake that we make, because he can correct that and he can change that, because he loves us with a crazy kind of grace, a grace that we can't hardly imagine. He knows the things that we do and he still loves us. He knows the thoughts that we have. And he still loves us. He knows that the people that cheat with money, and he still loves them. I'm not saying us, but those that do. I read this week an interesting thought. It says, when Paul tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, he is using marriage as a metaphor. He is saying that a marriage between a man and a woman is a picture of Christ and the church in that picture. Christ is the negative, the church is the photo. If we mess with the negative, what happens to the photo? If we truly know how much Christ loved us, then our world would change, and we would most likely change with it. We would see people loving and caring for each other, people not killing and destroying other people's property. I know I mentioned it earlier, but watching the news and seeing limousines burned, seeing banks and coffee shops destroyed, because you don't like something. People need to get on with their lives. And get on and let Jesus get a hold of them. Give Jesus an opportunity to take over what is so evil or what is so wrong there. What we would find is we are praying and we're sharing, we're talking to people, is that love is what happened on the cross. It was the love of Jesus for a bunch of imperfect people in an imperfect world. Yes, attending an imperfect church. We won't see perfection until we see Jesus. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive and shouldn't try to love for it. So when we look at the cross, we see a divine lover hanging on the cross, looking down at us and saying, wow. And when he said three times to let this cup pass from him, and I'm sure that if it would have, he probably would have taken it back. I remember sitting in a constructing theology class in seminary, and the instructor's big question is, could Jesus have sinned? Well, his two or three doctorates couldn't answer the question. God's all-knowing. The Bible said that he knew no sin. I don't think we ever got to the bottom of that question. Hosea tried to bring Gomer to a safe place, a loving place, from which she could be safe, but she kept sneaking away. It wasn't because she snuck away because of her past that was drawing her to her. She was afraid of her future. Something different than what she had had, and something different than the lifestyle that she had. When the past influences is stronger than the future perception, trouble breaks out. We know what the future holds. We know the future holds heaven. Future holds a good knee. A future holds two good knees for Linda, two good knees for Judy, two good knees for Bud, good knee for Leslie. Holds a lot of good parts. Man, two good hips for Bruce. We stop and think, man. But that's what the future holds. The future holds wholeness. If we ever experience, let me rephrase that. If all we ever experience is religion, the cross comes nothing more than a religious symbol. It's when we realize and we understand the place of relationship. This is going to come as a shock, but there's none of us in here perfect. As much as we may like to think we are, many of us are reminded on a daily basis. But that doesn't mean that we don't try to strive for it, strive for relationship. God has a place for all of us. We can still go to church till we're blue in the face and not open our hearts to the cross, and we miss it. That's what Calvary's all about. Jesus redeeming us out of the love in his death that we might have life and we might have it. I've said this before and I really believe it, that we might have it abundantly. Because to the non-Christian has life, but they don't have the joy and the peace. And to the person that seeks religion, they might have life, but they don't have it abundantly. If we truly knew how much Christ loved us, I think our world would change. If we really recognize that, and we being not just us in this building, but we as a community, as a state, as a nation, if we could ever get that into our minds and our hearts, things would be totally different. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the cross and thankful that it is a symbol of Christianity, not just a symbol of religion. But it's a symbol of love, and it's a symbol of passion, and it's a symbol of a life given for lives lived. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for what happened on the cross, that Jesus brought down to earth love in a very special way. In your name we pray. Amen.